So here's a suggestion about what you might do. Now, you don't need, I've never sat scholarship history, so, you know, but here's a suggestion. And this seems to have worked reasonably well for some of our boys at Wellington College over the years. The key thing you've got to do is you've got to, in that first hour, you've got to be doing critical reading. You've got to organise your argument. And here's a suggestion of a way to sort of format a simple argument. I'll talk about this a little bit. But, you know, usually there's two arguments that come out. You know, it's usually two sides to an argument that they get in scholarship. It's not always, but it seems to me that usually it's either, was the treaty central to the century? Or last year, I think, for the New Zealand option, it was, to what extent was Kingitanga central? So either it was or it wasn't. You know, it seems to me there's sort of two. So what I'd suggest, here's a little suggestion. Take two highlighters into the exam. Decide which, after you've read through, decide which way you're going to argue. And all the stuff in the exam that supports your argument, highlight in a colour, in one colour. And all the stuff that goes against your argument, highlight in another colour. And that way you've got it there in your thing. You can easily go through and say, here it is. So, you know, I think you can tell how well the student did in these exams by how much they've written on the paper. This one here, clearly a fail. Okay, they've written nothing on the paper. This should be totally annotated and written all over. It should be highlighted and scribbled. And this effectively becomes the sort of base of your essay plan. And as you're reading this, you've got to be annotating those resources with judgments of the historical evidence and the narratives. So as you're going through, you're asking those questions. Is this valid? Do I agree with it? Why do I agree with it? Do I not agree with it? Why don't I agree with it? And making those sorts of judgments as you go. And here's those words. I just lifted these out of that assessment schedule. So those would be some good words to look at. How is this limited? What does it tell us and what doesn't it tell us? That's a really good question. How reliable is this? How reliable is it? Can we trust this person? Or has this person got another motive for this? Validity. How valid is it? How useful is it? So it might be there, but you say, it's there, sure. But how useful is this? It's probably not particularly representative of a wide range of people. It doesn't actually contribute to the argument. Bias is the easy one, and then I guess that relates back to these issues around reliability. Selection. You know, how does the actual selection of resources in this pack, how does the selection of resources sort of push you down a certain argument? And I guess this is the other key question for getting your head around that whole area of bringing your own knowledge, is what's not in these sources which could contribute to my argument? So that's what I'd be doing with my critical reading. I'd be trying to organise the argument. I'd be highlighting evidence which supports your argument in one colour, highlighting the other evidence that goes against in a different colour, and then annotate the resources as you're going and saying, look, there's some limitations with this, there's reliability issues here, or this is representative, or whatever you want to do. Okay, so here's an idea about the way you could do it. And I feel a little bit guilty about doing this because I'm a student as well, I'm a postgraduate student. And I submitted an assignment, and one of the feedbacks I got from the market was, all you've done is set up a straw man. And this was seen as a very negative thing. So I don't know if you know what a straw man is, but I think a straw man is a really good way to go for scholarship history. If you want to do this. Some of you will do something more sophisticated than this, but here's a way of structuring an argument. So you've got a view out there. As I've said several times, the introduction is crucial. You've got to get your argument out there. I mean, I'd suggest that even you could start your article by saying, this article argues that, and just get it straight out there from the beginning. If you can't say right in the beginning what your argument is, you're probably not going to get a scholarship, I wouldn't think, because you won't be able to sustain that. So here's my straw man. This is the way I'd do it if I were you. I would start by saying, here's my argument, and put that out there. And then I'd set it up by saying, actually, there is some evidence that runs against this argument. You know, there. Say if you're taking last year's one and you wanted to argue that Kingitanga was central, you'd start by saying, of course, there were other events in the 19th century and other features which probably were, you could argue, were more significant agents of change or events of change in the 19th century. And you could write about them. And as you're going, you're, of course, using the judgments, you're making judgments, using the, you know, trying to get skill 2 and 3 out, making judgments about the evidence, making judgments about the historical narratives as you go. And then I would say, okay, but this is the argument. What I'm arguing is actually this. And use that, then use the material that you have, that you've already identified, that you've already highlighted, and your own knowledge to present your case. So the two highlighters really comes into play there. And just wrap it up in a conclusion. Now that's probably not a sophisticated approach, a sophisticated argument. But it's a good enough argument, probably I would imagine, looking at the assessment schedule and sort of the results of Wellington College students in the past, that sort of argument seems to be good enough to get you a scholarship. Set it out in an introduction very clearly, keep it at the forefront of your essay, and then use your other skills, your skills of historical evaluation and engagement with historical narratives to support you as you're going. And then just tie it up with a conclusion at the end. Those of you that do debating will be aware of sort of a tactic in debating called signposting. And what good debaters do is they keep their argument at the forefront of what they're doing. And I think that's what you've got to do here. So I'm going to suggest you do a lot of signposting as you're going through this. So right through from your introduction, you're keeping your argument at the forefront of the reader's mind. Here's some phrases you could use. Well, we've said this article argues that. We've already seen. So you're saying we've already seen. So far, this article has shown. Getting that stuff out there. Having shown this, or shown that, this, or having shown that such and such and such, this article now goes on to do this. So the whole time, you're pinning the reader back and you're underlining the fact that you've got an argument. And even if you haven't, these sorts of phrases will probably help. Say, oh, I've shown that. And say, oh, is that actually what they're showing? Okay, fantastic, there's an argument. The final section of this paper continues the argument that, and it does it by this. This article has argued that. Constantly throw these things into your topic sentences so that you're keeping it clear, and it's helping you also keep that argument right at the forefront of what you're doing.